So we're going to still talk about dysfunctional families, but this time it's about one particular dysfunctional family. And what I'm really interested in this time is looking at injustice and forgiveness in one family. Now, injustice is a huge subject, so we can't, I'm not going to even attempt to think about justice in a worldwide way. So I understand what we're doing is very narrow, but we're talking about families, and this is injustice experienced in a family, and then forgiveness and reconciliation experienced in a family. And this family is in the Bible, and it's the family of Joseph. And I would like to say that I think Joseph's family was as dysfunctional as any you might like to imagine. You probably know, I'm sure you know, the story of Joseph very well. What do you know about Joseph? Just throw me up some things you know. Favourite son? Yes? Had a nice coat? Hated by, yes? Pardon? Yes. Yes? Pardon? God's man. Okay. Right. So, we know a fair bit about Joseph, but what I want to talk about is injustice as he experienced it, and then also forgiveness as he experienced it, and reconciliation as he experienced it. So if we start off with what we know, and the number on the left, oh, we haven't got to a number yet. On the left, I'm putting Joseph's approximate age from markers that we are given in Scripture. The first injustice. Now, by the way, I do have photocopies of this chart I'm going to share with you. So you don't have to write it down. But what I have done with the chart, I've given you where the readings are found, where I find all this information, but I haven't put the verses on every spot. Because if you want to take it home, you're going to find the verses and prove that what I said is what the Scripture says. That's some homework for you, but it would be it's a good exercise. So we know that the first injustice that he experienced was when he was sold by his brothers as a slave. He was put into a well, if you remember, and he was sold. So what I'm showing you is Joseph and what happened to him. Then in the next column I'm showing you his response to what happened to him, and the brothers, why they did what they did, and then God, and how God was with Joseph, but how his life panned out. Again, it was a difficult life to live, and it was a difficult story. So the first thing I began to wonder was, why did these brothers hate Joseph so much? Now, we know about the coat of many colours, and we know that he was a dreamer, and that he was probably an arrogant young lad who boasted about this dream that he had that said the rest of them, well, that was the interpretation, the rest of the family are going to bow down to him. Where did the injustice come from? Where is it born in a person? And what I discovered is, in this case, and this may not be the case in every case, but in this case it was born in the family. Joseph's family, I'm suggesting, was dysfunctional in the extreme. There were 13 children, one father, four mothers. And they all lived within reach of each other, because when they were out in looking after the flock. It talks about the 10 brothers, so they were in touch with each other. Jacob was in love with Rachel, and she was the youngest daughter of Laban. Jacob had asked Laban for permission to marry Rachel. It was sort of love at first sight for Jacob. However, on the marriage night, and because of their custom, wouldn't happen in our land, he got tricked into marrying Leah, the youngest sister, who wasn't beautiful and who had an eye problem. She didn't see very well. And she wasn't beautiful, so, you know, she was the ugly duckling of the family. But she was the eldest. So Laban said, well, she's got to be married off first. So Jacob was tricked into marrying her. He was mad about that. And Laban said, all right, you work for me. You wait the marriage week out, and then you can have Rachel as well, but you've got to work another 7 years for her. Which he did. Did you get the picture? We've got a wife who wasn't wanted as a wife, and we have a wife who was really loved. Now, what happened in this family is extraordinary. And by the way, apologies to the ladies who were at a house party a couple of years ago and who remember all this. Let's see how the family happened and grew. Leah knew that she was not loved, but she hoped that in having children, she would gain her husband's love. So she had four sons: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Now, if you read the chapters, and I've also got copies of this, if you want to take it home, you can check up that what I'm saying is in Scripture. Because sometimes you might think, does it say that? Well, it does. There's some incredible things it says. I won't go through them all, but when Reuben was born, Leah said, because the Lord has seen my misery, surely my husband will love me now. When Simeon was born, she said, because the Lord heard that I am not loved. When Levi was born, Leah said, now at last my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Golly, wasn't she aching for love? When Judah was born, Leah gave up and said, this time I'll just praise the Lord. Now, this is when it gets interesting. Rachel, the loved wife, couldn't have children, it seemed. And she was very jealous of her sister. So, you thought surrogacy was modern? This is surrogacy gone mad, ladies. So, because of the culture, Rachel said, well, Jacob can have my maidservant, and because of the culture, her children will be mine. They'll be regarded as mine. So she gave Jacob her servant Bilhah. And Bilhah had two children, Dan and Naphtali. And this is what Rachel said when Dan was born. God has vindicated me. He has listened to my plea and given me her son by another woman. Naphtali, listen to this. Rachel said, I have had a great struggle with my sister, and I have won. What about that? Goes on. Next we have Psalms 7 and 8. Can you see that? Let's pull it up. Is that better? Okay. Who's Zilpah? Zilpah's Leah's servant. Another surrogate mum. When Leah found she had stopped having children, she gave her servant to Jacob so she would have more children. She already had four. Rachel had two. So, she had two sons. Do you know what she said when Gad was born? What good fortune. And when Asher was born, she said, how happy am I? The women will call me happy. This is a family I don't believe. Let's move on. This is very sad, I thought. This is Leah. Okay, Leah's the ugly duckling wife. Her son Reuben had brought his mother some mandrake plants, which were very highly perfumed plants, believed to be an aphrodisiac. He had brought them to his mum. Rachel saw this and said, can I have some of those? No, you can't. Okay. So she said, Leah said, you give me some of those plants and I'll let you sleep with Jacob. I'll trade the plants. She traded the plants with her sister. So Leah could sleep with her husband. Isn't that awesome? In great competition with each other. So, Leah has two more children, Issachar and Zebulun. No, that's not up to you. About Issachar, she said, God has rewarded me for giving my maidservant to my husband. And then when Zebulun was born, she said, God has presented me with a precious gift. This time, my husband will treat me with honour because I have borne him 6 sons. But did he? Didn't change anything. The interesting thing is then she had the only girl in the family, Dinah, and there's no comment whatsoever. Not a single solitary word. Sons were the favours. Okay. Now we come to Jacob and Rachel, his dearly, dearly loved Rachel. She had a son and called him Joseph. And what did she say? God has taken away my disgrace. May the Lord add to me another son. And do you know that Jacob was probably about 90 years old when he had Joseph? It talks about Joseph being a son of his old age. And then she had Benjamin. And what happened? She died in childbirth. Jacob was beside himself. This was the wife that he loved. Now do you get a picture of where Joseph sits in this family? Now do you understand why they hated him? His brothers hated him? Where was injustice born? It was born in this family. It was born in these parents, in these women, these mothers. Leah, and in their behaviour, what did they demonstrate to this family? Jealousy? Competition? Hate? Where was the sense of community in this family? It wasn't there. So you see, I'm not surprised. And all that's in the scriptures. I'm not surprised that these brothers hated Joseph. He was confident, he was favoured, they hated him. And so, I want you also to notice, how much time have I got? Heaps? Okay. That's dangerous. Give me heaps of time, I might take it. Okay. So he was confident, they were jealous and they hated him. What I want you to notice next is, what happened when they stole him? They planned to kill him, the scripture says. Now I won't read all the scriptures, so you believe me that they're there. They planned to kill him. Reuben, who was Reuben? The eldest son, said, no, don't kill him, put him in the well, that's fine. And he had to go off and do some chores. And he thought to himself, I'll rescue the lad when I come back later. This was the eldest. How do elder children behave? Responsible son. He said, no, don't kill him, but I hate him too. Well, but I've got to protect his life. Reuben, who was that son number 4, I think. Judah, sorry. You're right. Judah said, sell him. Let's sell him to the passing Midianites, would they? And they sold him. How did Joseph feel? Now, I only discovered this a few years ago. I didn't know how Joseph felt. How would you feel if your brothers dumped you in a well and then sold you as a slave? Later in the story we get what Joseph felt. It says, they said to one another, we saw, this is later on, they said, we saw, this is the brothers, how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. Joseph didn't agree to be thrown into the well or to be sold, did he? He pleaded for his life. That's how he felt about this injustice. What a dreadful experience. Dreadful. So let's move on. Joseph gets to Egypt with the Midianites and he's sold into Potiphar's house as a servant. He was 17, about 17 when he was sold. I don't know how many years he worked in Potiphar's house, but for the first time the scripture says God was with Joseph and he prospered him. He did very well in Potiphar's household. He was given a lot of responsibility, and just remember, he was a foreigner in this country. Maybe he had to learn a new language. He certainly would have had to adjust to a new culture. But he did. And God was with him. So, second injustice. You know what happened to him in Potiphar's house? He was a strapping, virile young man, and Potiphar's wife took a liking to him. And she sought to seduce him. Come to bed, she said, with me. And Joseph, remember this, right away from his family, young man, maybe 19, I don't know, but young man, and he said, no, I won't do that. God doesn't approve of that. That's not how, you know, my belief in God won't let me do that. But she grabbed his coat and he ran away. She presented the cloak to her husband and said, he tried to seduce me. And what happened? He was thrown into jail. Was that unjust? Where was that injustice born? It was born in Potiphar's wife's heart to cover herself, wasn't it? It was her wrongdoing. He had nothing to do with it. That's what injustice is, isn't it? Something done to you by somebody else for their own purpose. He felt the injustice. How do I learn that? I learn it in chapter 40, verses 15. While he was in prison, the scriptures say again that God was with Joseph, and that he prospered in prison and he was given responsibility. Did that mean that he'd forgotten all about the injustice he had experienced? That it didn't matter anymore? It mattered extraordinarily to Joseph. And do you remember that the baker and the cupbearer brought their dreams to Joseph? And do you know the circumstances of that? He was in the prison, given responsibility, and he asked, why are you so sad today? Why are your faces downcast? In prison he was concerned for others. Why would, you know, someone acting as sort of an officer, why would you be concerned about the other prisoners and how they looked and felt? But Joseph was. So he'd become a compassionate man. And so they told him their dreams, and he interpreted their dreams. Now, one was to die and the other was to live. And listen to what Joseph said, 40 verse 14, or verse 12. This is what it means. This was the dream. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. So the cupbearer is going to get his job back. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. For I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing wrong to deserve being put in a dungeon. How did he feel? How do we feel when we experience injustice? We feel injustice. Who deserves this? Haven't done anything to deserve this. So why is this happening to me? 2 more years. The cupbearer forgot all about him. So he spent 2 more years in prison. And he was released because Pharaoh had dreams that nobody could interpret. And then, bingo, the cupbearer remembers, oh, I know someone who's good at this, but he's in prison. Get Joseph out. And so Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream, and it seems to Pharaoh that this is the truth. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. So Joseph is released from prison.
How long was it?
30. He was 30 years old when he was released. How many years had he been a slave? 13 years. It was 13 years since his brothers had sold him. Tough call? I think so. So, Joseph gets promoted. High office. He married and he has 2 sons. And here you would think, well, he's made it. He's now got position, wealth, a family. He can forget about what his brothers did to him, can't he? Life goes on. And he could move on. Do you know what he felt? He felt great distress. Do you know, the first time I discovered these couple of verses I'm going to read to you, I cried. I thought, boy, this man really suffered for what had happened to him. In Genesis 41, it says, or verse, no, 50, before the years of famine came, 2 sons were born to Joseph, by Asenath, daughter of Potipherah, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, it is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. What was he trying to do? Put the past behind him. I've got to forget about them. God has given me a son. Now I can create my own family. He had no family for 13 years. Imagine a youngster, 17, tossed into a foreign country, into prison, learning to rely on God. So God's given me a son, now I can forget all that's happened to me. But could he? The next verse says, the second son he named Ephraim and said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Do you understand that? Had he put the past hurts behind him? Did it matter any more that they'd sold him, that he'd been in prison unjustly? God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. And you know, how does this apply to us? Have you been through tough times? Have you discovered that in the place where you suffer, you can grow spiritually? In the place where times are really tough, God gives you something that encourages you to go on. for Joseph it was another son. So God has given me two children in the land of my suffering. Egypt wasn't home, was it? Away from it, but this huge family he'd been torn away from. So he felt the past too. Now, this is where the rubber starts to hit the road. This is the journey that, notice, I want you to notice two things as we do this. The journey of those who do injustice, the journey of the person who suffers the injustice, and the journey of forgiveness. Their journey doesn't happen overnight. How do you think Joseph felt when the brothers turned up for food? This must have been the most painful time in Joseph's life. Do you know, he didn't have to say who he was. All that happens after this, Joseph chose to do. Joseph chose to pick up the threads with his brothers. Joseph chose this journey of forgiveness. He did not need to say who he was, because he had taken on the culture of Egypt. He didn't dress like them. He didn't speak like them. They didn't know him. He knew them. It's an important thing to remember when we're thinking about forgiveness. 42, chapter 42, verse 24 says this. Before I tell you that, the brothers were confronted, they were forced to face the past. Do you remember Joseph first of all accused them of being spies and was very rough with them? And what's very interesting is how they responded. Do you know, 42 verse 22, Joseph was pretty tough with them and said he was going to throw them into prison, and you know, they were spies and all sorts of things. He actually did throw them into prison for 3 days. Then they said to one another, remember, Joseph could understand them, they didn't know that he knew their language, and this is what they said: surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come upon us. They were facing their past, how many years on? 21 years. 21 years after they had done it, they're feeling guilty. We shouldn't assume that people who perform some injustice against us forget about it. They don't forget. We might think that it doesn't matter to them anymore. It seems to me it was just below the surface. And this is really interesting. Reuben said, who was Reuben? The eldest son. He said, didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? But you wouldn't listen. Now we must give an accounting for his blood. Reuben had tried to save his life. He said, well, didn't I tell you? I'm not responsible for this. Except that he'd joined in the deception of Jacob, their father. And what did Joseph do? It says, he turned away from them and began to weep. Philip Yancey says, of Joseph around this time, this is a man weeping his way towards forgiveness. This is a man who is confronting what's happened to him and what he's going to do about it. So they go back, you know the story, they go back and they have to come again, and you know the money's left in the top of the bags and all that stuff. So in some ways, Joseph is playing a little game with these brothers. He's making it hard for them. And I wonder, when he was doing these things like put the money back in their sacks and then go after them and put the silver cup. You know, they were terrified. I wonder, was he playing a revenge game? I don't know. But I think he was sorting out, what's he going to do? I mean, they had treated him badly, and he was in the position of power. He could treat them how he liked. He could call the tune. Why I say that Joseph forgives his brothers at this time is when they came back on the second journey, do you remember that Joseph said, you're going to have to bring your younger brother with you? And he quizzed them about his family, and he discovered, you know, they told him what had happened, and there was a younger brother back there, but his father loved him so dearly, and they couldn't bring him back. When the time came, Jacob said, we've run out of food, you've got to go back and get some more. Guess who took responsibility for Benjamin's life? Guess who took responsibility? Judah. Judah took responsibility for Benjamin. Judah was the one who said, let's sell him. Judah, all these years later, turns into this very responsible guy who says to Jacob, you know, look, just trust me. I'll look after young Benjamin. I'll bring him back to you. I won't let anything happen to him. What was he suffering? Guilt. Don't you reckon? If you read the passage, it goes overboard. It's this great long speech to his father Jacob. What had this boy seen over the years? What had he witnessed? He'd witnessed what his injustice had done to his father. He witnessed the consequences in the family of what he had done. He witnessed Jacob grieving endlessly for the favoured Joseph that had been lost. And now he says, look, I'm going to take really good care of Benjamin. I won't let anything happen to him. Had he got over it? He'd forgotten what he'd done? Not a bar of it. I thought that was really interesting. When they came back and they had Benjamin with them, remember Joseph took them into his own house and set them down at the table in order of birth? And they freaked out. They freaked out. This guy knows so much about us. How does he know? It's by divination, they said. And Joseph said to them, it's all right. Don't be afraid. And Joseph, when he looked about and saw his brother Benjamin, his own mother's son, how long had it been since he'd seen Benjamin? 23 years since he'd seen his young brother, and they were part of the favoured household. He asked, is this your youngest brother? The one you told me about? And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried out and looked for a place to weep. He went into his private room and wept there. After he washed his face, he came out and, controlling himself, said, serve the food. What was happening? Do you get an idea of what this man suffered and how deeply he was hurt by what had happened to him? What's he going to do? Now he's got the family in front of him. What's he going to do? You know, it's just an amazing journey that this man was on. So he extends kindness. United with Benjamin. And the brothers get to know who he is, and he says, go and get your father and bring our father, my father. Go and get my father and bring him back. Do you know what he said? This is why I think that I can say that Joseph forgave them. 45 verse 7 says, verse 4. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. This is when he made himself known. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here. This is a new way to look at it, isn't it? Because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will not be ploughing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. What has clicked for Joseph? What has changed? I think at this point he forgives them. Why? How can he find it in himself to forgive them? Because he's recognised that it wasn't them, it was God. God allowed these things to happen because God had a purpose. God's purpose for the family and for others. And the light goes on. All these years I have felt the hurt of what these guys have done to me, and I have not recognised what was happening here. God has his hand on my life all this time. God sent me here to save these stupid brothers who did this to me. And so he can forgive them. He forgives them. 23 years. I tell you, forgiveness is a journey. Forgiveness is not does not happen at the click of a finger. Forgiveness does not happen by just saying, I forgive you, it's okay. Forgiveness does not deny the hurt that has happened to you. But forgiveness is possible if we see the larger picture and if we can understand now what's God doing here. Didn't look as if God was doing anything. And that's sometimes our story. We don't know what God is doing. The rest of the story teaches me another thing. This is one side of this. Joseph attended to his side. I don't believe the brothers had attended to their side of this yet. They were very pleased to bring their father and their families and come and live in Egypt and be fed and to live off Joseph's kindness. They accepted all that. And the scripture says that for 17 years Jacob's father lived in Egypt before he died. So Jacob knew his grandchildren, these two sons of Joseph. And he lived with all of his family for 17 years. And then Jacob died. And it seems to me that Joseph was around 57. Very approximate, ladies. But around this age, he was about 57 when his dad died. He was very, very distraught. It says, when his father died, chapter 49, Joseph, when Jacob had finished giving instructions to his son, he drew his feet up into the bed, breathed his last, and was gathered to his people. Joseph threw himself upon his father and wept over him and kissed him. Then Joseph directed the physicians in his service to embalm his father Israel. So the physicians embalmed him, taking a full 40 days, for that was the time required for embalming. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. Joseph felt very much the death of his father, that he'd been denied of for about 23 years of his life. It's not the end of the story, and this is what I find most interesting. The brothers are attacked by mild panic. They weren't sure that they had been forgiven. Now, it seemed they were thinking they had the protection of their father, that Jacob was protecting them, and Joseph forgave them just because their father was there. It was for his sake. And when Jacob died, they thought, I think we're in trouble. This man's still in power. So in chapter 50, it says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? What were they feeling? They're still feeling guilt, aren't they? They don't feel forgiven at all. They think they're going to be in for it now. So they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of God, of the God of your father. They're pleading. But they're saying, this is what Dad's, you know, for Dad's sake. Are you going to forgive us, or are we going to end up your slaves? When their message came to him, what did Joseph do? He might have said, well, you know, now's my chance. You fellows, I've been really kind. I've given you all, and now you're going to pay. You know what he did? He wept. He wept. They hadn't heard, have they? They hadn't heard the message of forgiveness. And what did they do? His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves. Oh, what about the dreams, huh? Actually, there's three times these brothers kneel down and bow down before Joseph. The dream was fulfilled about three times over. We are your slaves. Now what are they doing? Now they're asking for forgiveness, aren't they? They're seeking on their own behalf reconciliation. Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? That's interesting. What does he mean? Am I, you know, as powerful as God? Can I, you know, wipe you out of revenge or something? I don't know. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. You see, Joseph had forgiven them. This was no problem to him. It was a problem to the brothers because for this 17 years, they hadn't really personally asked forgiveness at all. How many years was it? Do you see? 40 years. 40 years after they had put him in the well and sold him, they are asking forgiveness or reconciliation. Now, what do we learn? What a journey. Do you see what I mean? Forgiveness is not an overnight matter. Reconciliation with family does not happen at the flick of a wrist. You know, it travels. The people who have done us bad, done unjust things to us, they don't forget. We think they've got off scot-free. We think Doesn't matter to them, they've done it, and they go on live their own lives. Doesn't matter what's happened to me. Don't really think it works like that. And this was a huge injustice, wasn't it? To sell your brother, to hate that much that you sell your brother. And it lived just under the surface for 40 years. And they didn't resolve it for 40 years. So what do I learn for this for myself, and for what does it say to you? I don't know what it says for you because I don't know what you've experienced. But maybe this will encourage you. Maybe you can see that in the circumstances that you are in, as Joseph, God is with you. God was with Joseph underneath all the time. The repeating words are, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Did he feel it? I don't think he felt it all the time. Because God is a just, a wonderfully just and compassionate God.